Sports Day for Kia. The Kia Sorento, drive car of the year. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Welcome to Sports Day here on Hump Day. It is Wednesday. Straight into the news headlines for Polaris, Australia's number one off-road vehicle brand. Welcome to you, Paul Haseby. How are you going, mate?
I'm going well, Carl. Not as good as David Mundy. He's going around once again. 19 seasons, would you believe? You've been commentating for, what, 25 seasons?
He's
been playing
career.
AFL for 19 seasons. What a performance. Deserves that contract extension. The other one today was Jake Stringer, 3 years at the Bombers.
Yeah, I started commentary long before David Mundy started playing AFL, so been commentating his whole career. And as I have expressed, I think, on numerous occasions on this program throughout this year, he has played as well this year as he's ever played in any season in the competition, in my opinion.
Easy decision to make, but did they have to do it right now? Why wouldn't you wait until the end of the year? I just, devil's advocate, if a knee injury were to happen next week.
I like this sort of stuff, mate. And look, if the knee injury happens next week, then it's a no-brainer for a decision to be reversed, in my view.
Financially, could the club get out of that
decision? Well, how do you know there's not a clause in there if he doesn't get through? I mean, we haven't seen the fine print. So, look, I have no problem with that. Hey, mate, what about the Milwaukee Bucks getting the job done, defeating the Phoenix Suns 105-98 today?
2-0 down, got it done in Game 6, so 4-2 in the end. It was enormous. And the Greek freak, Giannis Antetokounmpo, he was outstanding, Carl. He's enormous, this bloke. He's got the best rig in the world. 50 points he had, 14 rebounds. He was the finals MVP, and he's going to be some player by the end of his career. Still only 26.
All right, the domestic cricket fixtures were announced today. The Australians defeated the West Indies this morning by 133 runs, and the Olympic Games are underway, and already we've been beaten in the softball. I'll tell you more about that later on in the program. Get Ranger confidence for the price of a quad. Visit your local Polaris dealers today. We'll come back with our Wednesday wine next.
Sports Day for Kia. The Kia Sorento, drive car of the year. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
I love Wednesdays because it is wine time. Not that I can just have a sip on a red wine. It's to have a wine about something for the rock stars of rock breaking. DM Breaker and Paul Haseby wants to start tonight. What do you want to start with?
Well, Carl, I got up this morning and I saw Australian Olympic athlete, equestrian debutant Jamie Kerman had tested positive, and I'm like, oh no, here we go. It's going to be to COVID. Well, it wasn't for COVID. It was because her positive A sample was returned for cocaine. Now, with cocaine, you know it stays in your system for not very long, maybe 2 to 3 days. And we've been through this with plenty of our sports people back here in Australia, in particular some of our footballers. But why would you be doing cocaine just before you're able to embark on your first Olympic Games? It makes no sense. And now she's going to have to do the crime and miss the Olympics and maybe never get back to that opportunity once again.
No, it sounds like a pretty dumb thing to me, as is what I have seen unfold for the very first completed match at the Olympic Games involving our Australian team. I cannot believe that in the Olympic Games you'd actually have a mercy rule, Paul Haseby. Now, our Australian softballers have taken on the host country, Japan, right? Mm. And in the fifth innings, they're down 8-1. Now, of course, in the rules, I have actually had a look at the run-ahead rule. Now, the regulations prematurely ends a match where one team is winning by more than 15 runs in the third innings, right? That's in the third innings, 10 runs in the fourth innings, or 7 runs in the fifth or sixth innings. So when Yamamoto hit 2-run homer in the fifth today, Japan extended their lead, which met the criteria for the game to be brought to a halt. Now, that's a joke. It's the Olympic Games. Don't you just play out in the spirit of it? Hasn't been in the Olympic Games for 13 bloody years, and the poor old Aussies had to wave the white flag and walk off.
Hang on a minute. This is coming from you, that you've sat through some really tough AFL games. And
yeah, but you don't walk off, do you?
No, I know you don't work off, but as a commentator, would you have rather that they just finish right there and then? Do you like the idea of the mercy rule that maybe in time, 60 points down?
I love getting the opportunity to put the foot on the throat, mate, and you suffer right to the end. There's no way that you should be finishing a game early at the Olympic Games. I know there's nobody there, but there are people that are going to be sitting in living rooms, probably more so than ever, given that 14.5 million people are now locked down in Australia. This could be the best viewing of Olympic Games in history.
But sometimes, Carl, you've got some sports that are so dominant, and Japan is so good at softball, but they came up against an African team, for example, that have hardly ever played
we've
softball.
We've seen it before.
But they get in there and they get flogged 50-1. Do you want to see that?
Well, we've seen it in soccer before where sides are 21-0 down and all this sort of stuff. Mm. But they don't just walk off with a mercy rule, mate. I would have rather see them finish the game off, and whatever the scoreline is, it is. I mean, why do you need the mercy rule in the Olympic Games? That's the point I'm making.
Let's get to AFL. Would you like to see it in the AFL?
No, I wouldn't like to see it in the AFL because it all revolves around percentage. Yeah. All important percentage is the difference between maybe making the eight and not making the eight, and everyone talks about it when you only win half your games. That's another wine I'd like to have.
As a commentator, would you like to see it in the AFL?
No, I wouldn't like to see it in the AFL.
Because there's some tough games, isn't there? And when the result's been put to bed at quarter time.
So if that rule had been in vogue in the AFL, what about Richmond and Collingwood the other day when they were 7 goals behind and all of a sudden they came back and won the game? What if it had a mercy rule and you had to walk off?
Well, it was Sydney and GWS on the weekend, 35, and some betting organisations actually pay out once it gets to a certain figure. Maybe the figure should be 60 points, not 30 to 50. I think maybe over 60.
No, it shouldn't be in there at all. Don't start to try and manufacture this in other sports, mate. It shouldn't exist at all.
Good talkie.
Rock breakers, pile drivers, screening and crushing buckets, DM Breaker equipment are Australia's leading rock breaker specialist. DMbreaker.com. We'll come back with Jeremy Sharp from the Gold Coast Suns, who's the Round 18 rising star, next.
Sports Day for Kia. The Kia Sorento. Drive car of the year. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Our first guest tonight here on Sports Day is a young West Australian who is playing for the Gold Coast Suns. He's the Round 18 rising star. His name is Jeremy Sharp and he joins us here on Sports Day. Welcome, Jeremy. How are you, mate?
Not too bad. Thanks for having me.
What about reflecting on that moment before we reflect on your great performance on the weekend? In fact, it's been a couple of weeks of good performances from where I've been sitting in my living room watching you play, mate. But going back to that time and going through that process must have been a bit weird, eh?
Yeah, definitely a weird moment. Obviously not knowing when you're going to be called out, but when my name did come out, it's pretty surreal and moment I won't forget.
How's it been, mate, since getting your opportunity up there in the Gold Coast, and just take us back to, you know, getting to where you've gotten to now?
Yeah, it's been really good. Yeah, obviously it's like a similar sort of lifestyle at Perth, so those sort of things, like, it's pretty easy to adapt up here. But yeah, it's been good. I'm loving it. Obviously a pretty young group, being able to gel with them really well, and loving what Stewie's doing, all the coaches. So yeah, I can't complain.
And you got the Rising Star nomination this week, and that's 6 West Australians that have got that so far this year, and 4 from the Sharks. So clearly there's a pretty good group of young East Fremantle products that have come through.
Yeah, I was pretty lucky enough to be in that team at East Fremantle with all them boys, and it was good fun. We probably all wouldn't have thought this would happen this year and all these accolades and stuff, but it's pretty cool.
Now, you played, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Sharpie, I think you played the Under-18s Championships 2 years in a row and got on the All-Australian team 2 years in a row. I think not only did you get in 2019, the year got drafted, but didn't you get in it the year before as well?
Yeah.
Right. So, obviously, you were on a pretty good trajectory, and it didn't go unnoticed.
Yeah, I suppose that was always my goal, to get drafted. But to get those little things along the way definitely helped. But, it was pretty cool.
It's pretty tight, the Rising Star Award this year. Who do you think would be the favourite right now to take it out? Because there's no real standout.
Yeah, it's going to be tricky. I think 2 of my pretty good mates, or actually probably 3 of them, Chad Warner, Trent Rivers, and even Mitch Georgiades, they're all going to go pretty close. And probably Luke Jackson as well. Like, probably a toss-up between them 4. I think it's pretty hard to tell, but there's going to be some good players that are eligible for it and to win it. But, I don't know. I think Mitch Georgiades is probably my pick.
Nice one. I think you might be right at this point in time. But there's still time for you and others to make their case for this award. But what about this Gold Coast Suns team? Because going back 3 or 4 weeks, we're all talking about this team and whether it had a future in the AFL competition. But the last 3 weeks have been really good, and Stuart Jew's obviously changed a few things up to make that happen.
Yeah, it's been good. Obviously going to Melbourne, not really knowing who we're playing, where we're playing, all of that. Yeah, that unpredictability with the competition at the moment. But, to string 3 pretty good weeks together has been really good. Obviously it's a pretty young team as well, and we're just looking for consistency. And if we're bringing our best each week, we know we can match it with the best. So, I think we've put together a good 3 weeks. Hopefully we'll just keep building on that.
You got those two games in your debut season, and they were a fair way apart. And then, obviously, it's taken you a number of weeks to break into the side this year. Round 15 to 18, you've strung four together. What's been the challenge breaking into the side, say, a little bit earlier?
Yeah, I think there's always a challenge trying to get onto an AFL team each weekend. But I suppose just trying to find consistency. I was lucky to be involved in a pretty good comp in the VFL. So, I was working pretty closely with Reece Shaw, my coach, and Brandon Ellis, obviously my mentor as well. So I've been working pretty closely with them too, just to try to keep improving my game and just finding improvement and consistency. I think my stint in the VFL definitely helped me to get back to the AFL. And once I was ready to be picked, I'll probably just stay in the team. So
Jeremy Sharp there. Coming up next is Jake Whetton from the Kookaburras from the Olympic Village.
Sports Day for Kia. The Kia Sorento. Drive Car of the Year. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Off to Tokyo we go to the Olympic Village. And Jake Whetton joins us, one of our Kookaburras. Welcome, Jake. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Very well.
Now, do you know as to whether you're going to be allowed to march? Has the decision been made?
Unsure. As of yet, unsure. We haven't had any official word as of yet. We're still waiting to hear from the bosses at the ROC. So as soon as we know, I reckon everyone else will know.
All right. Now, Jake, on the back of a couple of more positive cases in the Olympic Village, which is where I assume we're talking to you from tonight, what are the protocols like?
Yeah, really, really high and really diligent here at the ROC. The Australian Olympic Committee have set some really high standards already for the COVID testing and the procedures that we have to go through, sanitizers all throughout our area and all throughout the village. And yeah, mate, it's been done really diligently, and everyone seems to be following protocol here in the Australian area. And we're doing all the right things to make sure that every athlete here is raring to go on day one of matches.
Now, I'm not sure if you've had a chance to sleep in those cardboard beds yet, but what are they like?
Mate, for myself, weighing about 62.5 kilos, ringing wet, not too bad for me. I don't know how some of the boomers boys will go or some of the weightlifters. I'm unsure how it might handle them, but for myself, mate, I'm sleeping like a baby. It's pretty hot here, so as soon as we get in there, it's head on the pillow, and I've been falling asleep pretty easily.
Jake, how mindful are you of mixing with either other Australian athletes or even athletes from other countries? Just because if, you know, somebody does contract it and you've had contact with them, then that's curtains for your campaign.
Yes, certainly right, mate. We've been addressed by the ARC head doctor, our own Hockey Australia doctors about the procedures, little things like going to the food hall and getting drinks out of vending machines and things like that. Again, like I said before, mate, we've been really diligent in how we approach the situation, and we've taken all procedures to make sure that hopefully we do enough that we don't end up in that situation, and we can just concentrate on our games rather than the virus itself.
Yeah, let's get it onto the pitch because your team, a lot of expectations, been really highly ranked coming into this tournament. But how different has it been in the lead up? Because you've been there, done that before. But the opportunity not to play against too many other international teams in the lead up, of course, would have been significant. You did beat New Zealand 2-0, but has it been very different to what you were used to?
Yeah, certainly, mate. We haven't, like you said, we played New Zealand in 6 games since March of 2020. So we're normally playing 20 to 30 international games a year. So that's essentially 60 games of hockey that we haven't played against the European nations, the other Asian countries that are all highly ranked in world hockey. So for us, it's been certainly different. We've definitely played a lot of inter-squad games. And for now, we're all just looking forward to beating someone else up rather than beating ourselves up at training. So it's been a tough slog, like everyone, I guess, in Australia and for that matter around the world. It's been a difficult period, but we've been able to have a really good training in Perth. We're all based obviously over in Perth, and we've had the 26 extended squad being in Perth for the majority of last year and all of this year. So we've been playing, like I said, a lot of intra-squad games, which become pretty much an international standard game. You think of Australia versus Australia A, which would probably, Australia A would nearly rank inside the top 10 if you put them out onto a hockey field against some other nations. So, yeah, we know that, yeah, it has been unfortunate we haven't been able to play some of those Euro teams, but what we've been able to do, and a positive thing we've been looking at it as well, is that they haven't seen what we've been training or playing. So that's something we're going in really confidently with.
Jake Whitten there. We'll have a chat to Chris Nelson next from Racing in Queensland.
Sports Day for Kia. The Kia Sorento. Drive Car of the Year. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Great to have your company. And we're racing in Queensland. Queensland is your place to race this year. And Chris Nelson joins us. Welcome, Chris.
How are you, Carl? How are you, Paul?
Yeah, we're going really well. Before we jump into the racing action, of course, earlier today, the Olympic Games was announced as coming to your part of the world. You looking forward to it?
Yeah, 2032. I hate to think how old I'll be in 2032. I don't want to think about that part of it, guys. But if I'm still alive and kicking, I'm sure I'll enjoy it. That's for sure.
You would have liked the odds of Queensland getting this Olympic Games?
Yes, if I could only have my horses win that convincingly. I'm the only bid, I think, in the pool of bidders. So it would have been pretty hard to lose. But look, it's going to be... By the time we get to 2032, it'll probably be everything's hopefully gone from this COVID situation, and the world's in a much better place.
Righto, Chris. Let's have a look at the racing tomorrow. She's in Townsville. Then on Friday, we head to Ipswich. And then on Saturday, the big racing is going to unfold there at Doomben, and also on the Gold Coast and Mackay and Toowoomba. Is that right? Are we racing everywhere, are we, on Saturday?
We are racing everywhere, but I'm going to also tell you about something completely different, and that's the trots, the harness racing on Saturday night at Albion Park.
Yeah.
Now, this is a massive night. There's four Group 1s, the Blacks of Fate, the Queensland Derby, the Queensland Oaks, the Queensland Trotters Cup, and a couple of triad finals for the two-year-old fillies and the two-year-old colts in gelding. So four Group 1s, a Group 3, and I don't know if you've seen the drone footage on Sky on the... Saturday nights at Albion Park, but it's fantastic, guys. It's a great view down the back straight. So massive night, biggest night of the year at Albion Park on Saturday night. So get involved in that for sure.
Righto. What are some of your best bets? Have you had a look across all of those destinations to tell us something that we can get on the weekend?
Yeah, I think race 7 at Doomben on Saturday. Number 4, Indispensable, has been going along really nicely since coming up from Melbourne. Three starts, probably could have won all three of them, had no luck first couple, and then bolted in at Doomben last time out, went straight to the front, ran some pretty slick sectionals. I think we'll get a lovely run, probably in the first three, and be winning again. So race 7, number 4, Indispensable, the best of the day. Just trying to find another one. Race 6, number 17, So Clever, is an emergency. Only one emergency, so hopefully we'll get a scratching. So Clever, trained by John Moore on the Gold Coast. Looks very hard to beat. Two starts for two wins. So we'll stick with those two. Hopefully we get a run in that sixth race.
What about Alligator Blood starting to do a bit more work now, coming back from its operation?
Well, I'm glad that you're giving me that news, because I haven't heard anything about Alligator Blood for quite some time. Obviously, you've got your finger on the pulse, Paul, and I haven't. So what's he been doing?
Patrick Healy's been doing some work with this horse, and then I think off to Gay Wardhouse, of course. But big operation, but we all remember how good it was, particularly in Queensland when this horse kicked everything off.
Yeah, certainly did. Now, I remember speaking to Adrian Bott earlier in the year, and he said he hadn't even seen Alligator Blood in Sydney, and that's obviously still the case. So he's still up here, obviously, still doing some groundwork, but yeah, it'd be very interesting to see him back, especially with the Waterhouse-Bott combination.
Now, I've had a little bit of a look at Doomben, and race 3, number 3, Tamerlade. It has been ridden poorly its last couple, and, mate, should have done better, in my opinion. So we're going race 3, number 3 for me. And then race 5, number 13, The Catch. I think after that last start victory, can back up and do exactly the same. What do you think? Am I getting close?
Well, I've got The Catch on top, Carl, so I agree with you there. And Tamerlade, well, look, he is a bit of a back marker, and he'll probably get back again on Saturday. So he'll need a bit of pace up front to help him out. But he's a very good type. He was a good winner at Grafton last time out, as was The Catch. So you're obviously following that Grafton form very closely, Carl.
Yeah, all right. Well, we'll see whether it reigns supreme for us, Chris. Thank you very much, mate, and we will have a chat to you in a couple of weeks' time. Cheers.
Look forward to it, guys. Have a great weekend.
Good on you. Chris Nelson there. He is the racing expert up there in Queensland. He's the go-to for tips. And Queensland is racing. The action continues this week at Doomben, the Gold Coast and the Sunshine Coast. We'll be back to wrap up sport after this.
Sports Day for Kia, the Kia Sorento, Drive Car of the Year, and Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Welcome back to Sports Day. If you didn't join us off the top of the program, the Olympic Games are coming to Queensland in 2032. The Aussie softball team have lost to Japan 8-1, and there have been a big result in the cricket. Australia defeating the West Indies by 133 runs. Mitch Stark taking 5-48. He was man of the match. Alex Carey taking over as captain, did a good job, made 67 off 87. Ashton Turner, as we have a bit of a West Australian focus, made 49 off 45 balls. And Josh Phillippe, 39 off his 42 balls faced. And the Milwaukee Bucks took the NBA title this morning, defeating the Phoenix Suns 105-98. Anything else to add, Hayes?
Yeah, Chris Iconomidis has signed a 3-year deal with Melbourne Victory. So following former coach here at the Perth Glory, Tony Popovich, across to the Melbourne Victory. A good pickup there. And Collingwood, two debutants named. Irish recruit Anton Tohill, 200 centimetres he is. Jack Ginnivan, the other one, a small forward. He'll make his debut as well for Collingwood.
Beautiful. We will see you again tomorrow from 6 o'clock for another edition of Sports Day.